Now, one of the best bits of political theatre I've seen in some time was Donald Trump's speech at the Davos, at the World Economic Forum. This was remarkable for a number of reasons. Number one is that it was introduced by the Bond supervillain Klaus Schwab himself. It was also remarkable for the speech that Trump gave, which was a lot better and a lot more fiery than his inauguration speech, and a lot more belligerent than that. I'm just going to look at a couple of highlights here. Before we do so, I'll remind everybody, buy Foundations of Shakespeare now, and all the other courses, Trivium, of course. But let's get into this, because this very much set the tempo for what the new Trump administration may be like. I mean, at the very least, it's signaling a change in how things are going to be done from now on. The Davos crowd, the globalist crowd are out. The elites who are behind Trump are in. Now, some of those people are exactly the same, as I've talked about on other streams. Many of them are the same people. But pivotally, the WEF and Davos are heels, and Trump and his crowd are baby faces. And also, there's a different spin. If you remember from this graph I gave here, in my analysis, the globalists always wanted the expansion of supranational, international organizations, world government, whereas the people who are aligned with Trump, are all about American power, Israeli power, remaking the world in America's image and so on. And Trump, in fairness to him, is also departing from that vision to some extent, because, there's some America first rhetoric in there as well, which means I think he's less concerned about remaking the world in America's image and more about just doing what is best for America, which is a change from the original neocons. There are still a lot of new neocons behind Trump, who I've talked about on other streams. But when it comes to where we're going, this is a little bit different. So let's hear Schwab introduce Trump, and then I'll play some filleted highlights.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
Well, thank you very much, Klaus, and hello to everyone in beautiful Davos. This has been a truly historic week in the United States. 3 days ago, I took the oath of office, and we began the golden age of America. The recent presidential election was won by millions of votes, and all seven, every one of them, all seven swing states. It was a massive mandate from the—
All right. We don't need to listen to Trump gloat about how big his victory was, etc. He's just kind of rubbing it in a bit. But he likes to talk about what was pretty funny in this bit is that he basically predicts that America has entered a golden age and that the economy is the best economy of all time, even though he's only been in for like 3 days when he gave this speech, which is a classic bit of Trump bombast, really. It's kind of funny. All these the world's richest men, all the money men in the world are there. And this guy is up there telling them that this is the best economy that America has ever had right now. It's just kind of crazy. But anyway, let's fast forward to some good bits.
That's why from the moment I took office, I've taken rapid action to reverse each and every one of these radical left policies that created this calamity, in particular with immigration, crime, and inflation. On day one, I signed an executive order directing every member of my cabinet to marshal all powers at their disposal to defeat inflation and reduce the cost of daily life. I imposed a federal hiring freeze, a federal regulation freeze, a foreign aid freeze, and I created the new Department of Government Efficiency. I terminated the ridiculous and incredibly wasteful Green New Deal. I call it the Green New Scam. withdrew from the one-sided Paris Climate Accord and ended the insane and costly electric vehicle mandate. We're going to let people buy the car they want to buy.
I mean, pretty incredible, right? I mean, bang, bang, bang. But it's like watching a boxer get up in front of these Davos globalist elites. Bang, left, right, left, right. All the shit you've been trying to do, all that stuff, I'm just rewinding it. I'm undoing it. It's over, basically. Pretty incredible opening to this speech. And he just continues in this vein. I have to admit, I've been pretty skeptical, as people know, about Trump 2.0. And I still have. I still think there are great reasons to be skeptical, which I talked about yesterday, the tech bros, the AI stuff. I'm not up for any of that. But there is a catharsis. Even I, watching this, was like, hell yeah, this is good. You know, really taking it to them, dismantling this system they were trying to build. Let's not forget, okay, maybe we don't like some of the people who are behind Trump, but it's still better than the globalists. The globalists there's no like upside to them at all. So watching him just dismantle and take apart all of this crap that they've tried to build is cathartic. And if there's one thing that he's done in his first week, is he's setting a tempo and he's saying, I'm serious about this. You want to test me? F around and find out. He did it with Colombia, where they tried to turn around some deportation flights. He said, no, I'm going to give you a 25% tariff, and immediately Colombia backed down. So it seems like he's empowered at the moment to just bulldoze through some of these things that he wants. And it looks like he's getting his way. So this is it is promising. You remember I put out two videos, one for cautious optimism and one, you know, pointing out some of the downsides. But this stuff, right, I just call it as I see it, this stuff at Davos was dynamite, where the inauguration speech for the domestic audience I thought was poor. This speech had a lot of fist-pumping moments, and there's more to come. So let me play it on a bit.
I declared a national energy emergency, and that's so important, national energy emergency to unlock the liquid gold under our feet and pave the way for rapid approvals of new energy infrastructure. The United States has the largest amount of oil and gas of any country on Earth, and we're going to use it. Not only will this reduce the cost of virtually all goods and services, it'll make the United States a manufacturing superpower and the world capital of artificial intelligence and crypto.
Again, the manufacturing powerhouse by, you know, unlocking the liquid gold and coming back to oil. Yeah, but notice how he sneaked in the AI and the crypto stuff in there as well, which basically has nothing whatsoever to do with oil production, as far as I can tell. But he slipped it in there, you know, for some of his donors, which will keep them happy. But again, look out for those things, because that's the bit of a Trump agenda, which I think the elites are sneaking in around the back door, that I don't think any of his base will be up for at all. The AI bit, the digital ID bit, etc. Still, there's more good stuff to come, so I'll shut up again for a bit.
My administration has also begun the largest deregulation campaign in history, far exceeding even the record-setting efforts of my last term. In total, the Biden administration imposed $50,000 in additional regulatory costs on the average American household over the last 4 years. I have promised to eliminate 10 old regulations for every new regulation, which will soon put many thousands of dollars back in the pockets of American families. To further unleash our economy, our majorities in the House and Senate, which we also took along with the presidency, are going to pass the largest tax cut in American history, including massive tax cuts for workers and family, and big tax cuts for domestic producers and manufacturers. And we're working with the Democrats on getting an extension of the original Trump tax cuts, as you probably know by just reading any paper. My message to every business in the world is very simple. Come make your product in America, and we will give you among the lowest taxes of any nation on earth.
Again, this whole bit will keep the libertarians and the Ben Shapiro's and the National Reviews and the business dudes happy. You know, seeing America as one big business, one big corporation, come do your business here, the global marketplace, yada, yada, yada. Not convinced that this is the sort of stuff that makes the base happy. But let's not forget, he has to not only keep his supporters happy, but his donors happy as well. Slipped in the AI stuff for the tech bros. Now he's slipping in all this stuff for, you know, the other moneyed interests who have supported him too. But still, there's good stuff yet to come. I won't keep on interrupting like this.
We're bringing them down very substantially, even from the original Trump tax cuts. But if you don't make your product in America, which is your prerogative, then very simply, you will have to pay a tariff, differing amounts, but a tariff which will direct hundreds of billions of dollars and even trillions of dollars into our treasury to strengthen our economy and pay down debt.
I should mention that this policy, the tariffs, the punishment for not building in America or for doing, you know, foreign investments, actually answers the Ricardo problem that I've talked about many times, where, you know, capital will reallocate to more productive ends. But if he's basically forcing companies to invest within America, that is actually a pretty hardcore economic nationalist, Bannonite, you could even say Friedrich List, would approve of these sorts of economics. So I actually don't have a problem with this policy of Trump's. It may actually make things more expensive in the short term, but basically you're forcing capitalists to invest in the country, not to go and build factories in China and elsewhere. So this is actually positive from Trump, as against probably the interests of many capitalists. So I will praise him for this one policy right here. Actually, we'll skip on a bit. This bit, which I'm just skipping over here, he does say a couple of interesting things, which is that he wants to end global conflicts, and he thinks that bringing down the price of oil is going to be one way to, you know, bring about world peace. I'm not exactly sure how bringing down the oil price will increase global stability, but if anybody can explain to me his thinking there, I don't know, but he kind of put those two ideas together in this bit that we're just skipping over. Now he's going to talk about the southern border.
How great the future will be. Under our leadership, America is back and open for business. And this week, I'm also taking swift action to stop the invasion at our southern border. They allowed people to come in at levels that nobody's ever seen before. It was ridiculous. I decided and very, very importantly, a national emergency on our border immediately halted all entry of illegal border crossers, of which there were many, and began promptly returning the illegal trespassers back to the place from which they came. That action, as you've probably seen, has already started very strongly. I've deployed active duty U.S. military and National Guard troops to the border to assist in repelling the invasion. It was really an invasion. We will not allow our territory to be violated. After 4 long years, the United States is strong and sovereign and a beautiful nation once again. It's a strong, sovereign nation. In addition, I'm pleased to report that America is also a free nation once again. On day one, I signed an executive order to stop all government censorship. No longer will our government label the speech of our own citizens as misinformation or disinformation, which are the favorite words of censors and those who wish to stop the free exchange of ideas and, frankly, progress. We have saved free speech in America, and we've saved it strongly. With another historic executive order this week, I also ended the weaponization of law enforcement against the American people and, frankly, against politicians, and restored the fair, equal, and impartial rule of law.
So there it is. I mean, it's basically a smorgasbord of absolute red meat delivered. Slabs and slabs and slabs of red meat for the base. I mean, the fact he's giving it in front of Davos, a massive F up yours to the Davos crowd. you know, full-throated, unleash Trump. And, well, I mean, it's very early days. He's acting like his executive orders and so on are just going to kind of magic these things into existence, which, you know, we always have to keep an eye on any sort of backsliding on any of this stuff. But I have to say that just in this first week, it does seem like this is a different Trump. It seems like it's a Trump who's going to not taking no for an answer. This stuff is going to happen. And I think that the reason he has to put it on thick like this is basically because a lot of people have lost faith in the system. And let's not forget that all of this, ultimately, if it's going to work, is going to get people buying back into the system. People aren't going to buy back in if they don't believe it's happening, right? So they have to believe it's happening. And frankly, it does seem like a lot of this stuff is going to happen. There are question marks about the southern border stuff. The rate of deportations needs to be a lot higher than it is at the moment. And he has to, there are many legal challenges to overcome, of course. But, it, you know, it's happened. What we're getting at the moment is some very good symbolic wins, symbolic breakthroughs. And if you remember when I talked to last week about the positive things, they were all on the kind of symbolic side, right? What remains to be seen is whether this kind of energy and this kind of focus that we're getting from Trump and his team right now is going to be sustained every single day as the weeks and the months go by. It's a strong start. It's a strong start. Remember, I always tell it like it is, right? It doesn't matter if I gave reasons to be skeptical and so on. I will still call it like it is. And remember, this is still really at the level of rhetoric so far. But it's a good start, right? It's all of the things that you would hope to see, all of the mistakes you hope that they've learned from. It seems like many of them are good. Now, there are lots of question marks too and lots of things on the negative side as well, which I pointed out elsewhere. But for what it was, this speech at Davos, for me, was the best thing of Trump 2.0 so far. You know, it was a great performance, I thought. And it was just the catharsis of it after everything we've all experienced past 4 years, 5 to 6 years. And don't forget, some people lost their jobs over this crap, okay? Some people lost friendships over it. Some people, you know, lost their whole careers over it, whether it was misinformation over COVID or BLM or any of the other kind of green crap. And for Trump to give this speech in front of that crowd, just sticking it in their faces, was a great cathartic moment, not just for me, but for millions of people. And for that, you have to commend him, because it then gives you the strength and confidence to go on and try to push for more. Okay, so all of these are good. All of these are good, good developments, and I have to take my hat off to Mr. Trump for that one. All of my other kind of question marks and so on that I've talked about many times are still there, of course. Okay, this is the thing about being a realist, right? You have to kind of be like, well, there are good things, there are bad things. We have to keep an eye on both of them. I am not in the game of dispensing white pills or black pills, but just saying what is, right? And what is that this speech at Davos was good. It was good. It was great, actually. And I do think that the mood in a lot of places has changed. Like the push, there's not that, the left are taking this as a loss, and the globalists are kind of accepting that this is the new reality that they have to operate in now. There are a couple of other clips coming out of Davos where a few of these guys are saying, well, look, guys, we lost, you know, our vision of the world has lost out, and these guys are coming in. The thing I still, I'm going to keep on hammering this, because as long as they're there, I still have this doubt at the back of my mind. The tech bros, Ellison, Musk, and so on, this is the route back in for the globalists, I'm telling you. It's through that billionaire class. Keep an eye on them, okay? Because their ends are not what the MAGA base want. I can just tell you that for free. If you're a MAGA supporter, watch my video from yesterday and ask yourself, is that the world you want to live in? right? Because Trump can do all of this stuff and still bring in that world, which would ultimately not be a good thing. Anyway, join me again tomorrow when I'll take a look at the world new situation. And if you're a watcher of The Deepest Lore, looks like we're not going to be able to continue that series on YouTube, but there's talks about me doing it on Twitter X. So have a look at my community tab later on, and I'll put the link there, because unfortunately the BBC are not allowing, they're pulling down the last couple of episodes. It's a shame that we can't finish the series on YouTube. It's one of, I know it's a fan favourite, I know a lot of people love that series, but join me. I don't think you have to join Twitter to watch that if you follow my link. Buy a course at the Academic Agency, Foundations of Shakespeare, and I'll catch you all again soon. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.